Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour. Coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Wednesday here on the show across the country, 3 hours every day. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. So we'll see what the NBA yields tonight, if the Pacers can actually generate some offense. They'll play hard, we know that. But aesthetically, that Celtics-Pacers game one was impossible to watch. Although it paled the comparison watching the Pistons try to hang with the Bucks, which was pretty deplorable. Pistons are just, they're just, you can't watch them.
Especially without Blake. They have no shot.
No, the only question is, and this will be a little interesting from the Bucks' point of view. Without the championship pedigree, and I don't believe that Bud nor Giannis and the other players on that team, I don't believe that they'll become a little complacent just because they know that they're infinitely better than Detroit and they just smashed them in game one.
I think they're too young. And too eager still.
Too hungry?
Yeah, too hungry.
Yeah, no, I do too. But part of the skill of becoming a champ or being a champ is navigating the emotional pitfalls that come over a two-month sequence of games, different series. And, you know, not getting too up, not getting too down, but also, you know, not becoming a little lax when you think as long as you show up and get off the layup line, you're going to win.
Yeah.
I want to see the Bucks come out and step on them.
Yeah, which
that's
I
what
think,
good teams do.
Which I think they will. Yeah. I just feel this Bucks team has an edge that Bud put in them, and it makes them, you know, play at a heightened level all the time. That's why they won so many games this year, led the Eastern Conference, obviously have home court throughout, and they're not going to squander it at all. I think this is their opportunity, and they know it.
I think so, too. I do anticipate, I mean, you can't get much of a worse showing. Utah lost by, what, 30, 32, 30, whatever, 30-something.
Yeah, that one was ugly.
Yeah, and Utah's just good. I mean, the Pistons lost by 30-something. The Pistons are just completely overmatched. Utah,
32,
just didn't play well. Utah's a good basketball team. I like them a lot. I don't know if they're going to win tonight, but I would be stunned if midway through the fourth quarter, if you don't watch it in its entirety from the Toyota Center, you flip that thing on. I would have to think that that's going to be a couple of possessions either way. I mean, I would think. And I'm really looking forward to that. But let's get to the Raptors a little bit. You like the Raptors. And when I say like, you like them enough to put them at least in that championship conversation, which is more than me, but talk to us.
Well, I think there's something about Kawhi that you just can't discount. Last year he didn't play at all, and we kind of forgot how good he actually is because he was caught up in the nonsense that was his eventual trade to Toronto. And the, are you playing because you're not playing because you don't want to be here? You're not playing because you don't like Pop, or you actually hurt? You got to go see your experts that are not team doctors in New York. It was just so much drama going on with Kawhi that we kind of stopped talking about how great of a player he is. Now, watching this game last night he was fantastic, Kawhi Leonard. You see 37 points and he made clutch shot after clutch shot, especially when it was close early on in this game. So he's your alpha. He's your top dog here. But then you throw in the fact that Kyle Lowry, who had one of the worst shooting nights maybe ever in Toronto basketball history, because he did not make a basket, did not score a point in the game one loss, which created a narrative that we just like to regurgitate, like Kyle Lowry's a choker. He's not a great playoff player. He just
he's not.
He can't get it done.
But he's not. He never has been.
The stats belie that, though. I mean, he's a terrible game for whatever reason, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Game ones, he's terrible. And in fact, over the last 15 game ones with Toronto,
it's a lot of series.
They're 2-13. 2-13. It doesn't mean they've lost the series.
No, I gotcha.
Game ones, they're terrible, and Kyle, for whatever reason, is terrible. So. Thinking about this game yesterday, about what Kyle would do, you knew he would bounce back because he's a good player. And he's actually, over the last couple of years, shot 40 or so percent from three-point range in the postseason. So we know that he's a gamer. For whatever reason, game one doesn't show up. So I knew he'd bounce back, which he did. Even if he doesn't play well, though, BT, or play, even when he doesn't score well, he plays well, right? And I mentioned this yesterday or 2 days ago. His plus-minus was plus 11, even though he scored 0 points.
But D.J. Augustine had a lot of points against him.
I agree that.
That's 26 points.
I agree.
D.J. Augustine should score 26 points on anybody.
I understand that. But he was still a plus 11. So think about it. So, like, overall, his game wasn't horrible. It wasn't like, you know, he...
Well, it just means when he's on the court that maybe the other guys just played really well.
I mean, he's a starter.
But it encompasses their performance as well.
I understand that. But that was because of 7 assists, and I forget how many rebounds. He had 8 rebounds or whatever. It may have been those numbers may have been flipped. But he was creating for other guys, and he was playing pretty good defense for a lot of this game. And so the rebound game, scoring-wise, was inevitable. And he scored 22 points. He was aggressive. You saw it on these pick and rolls. He'd give and go, and he's just charging towards the rim, creating fouls, getting to the foul line, doing what you expect Kyle Lowry to do. He's not going to blow you away with athleticism because that's just not his game.
No, he's like a pit bull.
He's a bulldog, yep. And he's stubborn as hell. And I like that trait in him, especially when you pair it with a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's phenomenal, one of the top 5 players in the NBA that we don't talk about enough anymore because he took so many games off this year, I think.
I'm trying to determine who the Raptors' second-best player is. Is it Siakam? I mean, it might be. The numbers would probably support that statement. Let me see.
Probably.
Regular season PER.
No, it's about...
last second. Go ahead, T. What do you have?
I was going to say, it's Siakam. No, it is. Marc Gasol is obviously... Most of that's not here.
Nope.
It's not with it.
Was with
not
Memphis.
With it was with Memphis.
They got a terrific bench. I guess
I'm
what
just
I'm getting
at. PER.
Yeah, what I'm getting at though, if Kyle Lowry is in the discussion of being your second best player, which he clearly has to be on this Raptors team, I don't think that's a good thing.
Why?
I don't think he's that good.
Why? You can't say he's not that good. Why do you think he's not that good?
I've watched this
because
guy
he has off scoring nights.
But there's off, and then there's like. Woefully, inexplicably bad.
Yeah, but there's some guys who have off scoring nights.
Yeah,
who it affects their entire game. You know what I mean? It's like,
sure,
I can't score, then I just shut down.
Like Carmelo Anthony when he was playing. If he was 3 for 19, Carmelo wouldn't bring much to the table.
There was no other depth to his game.
Well, I might get you some rebounds, but that's about it.
Maybe.
Kyle
Lowry's not that, and so he's a bulldog. He keeps playing. And you have to appreciate that.
I do. And this is where my point of disconnect with the Kyle Lowry stuff. I really like Kyle Lowry. Mm-hmm. I've told you many times. I remember doing a game of his in college when he was at Villanova.
Yeah.
I've always liked Kyle Lowry. It took him a little while to get going, bounced around the Rockets. He was on a couple different teams.
It's true.
Found his groove, got paid, happy for him. But he has had some maddening nights as a pro. And the Raptors rely on him a lot.
Not as much anymore.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not – you can't say he's definitively their fourth best player. You know, if you could say that, then I might say, well, okay, maybe I'm going to invest a little more belief in the Raptors' ability to win multiple series. Listen, I could be wrong. I just don't think we're sitting here – well, let me ask you this. Do you think – so I know you think that they beat the Magic, as do I.
Yeah.
Although I did think that, I think I said I can find it on Twitter. I think I said Raptors in 6. I gave the Magic 2.
Yeah.
You underrated the Magic. And all year I've been saying Magic are okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd beat them like that in game 1. The Magic are going to win another game in Orlando. Magic are going to win at least 2 games. But then the Raptors will advance unless something wacky occurs. Raptors are going to win the next series? Do you have good confidence? Do you feel good about that?
It depends on how game 1 goes.
Well, based on Kyle Lowry's track record, it's not going to go very well.
Well, I mean, there's also the Kawhi Leonard effect. In fact, look, they almost won this game. They had let's just say he's their second best player. Their second best player.
Had 0.
Had 0 points.
Yep.
And they still almost beat a playoff team. Beat the Magic, who are you're claiming are a decent team.
No.
Right?
They have played since the second half of the NBA season.
Yeah.
They I'm not claiming. I'm reacting to what they've done. They're pretty
good.
He
scored 0 points and they still almost beat
him. But he gave up 26 to a transient aging veteran.
Yeah. I mean,
DJ Augustine should never score 26 points in the playoffs.
So what did DJ Augustine do in game 2?
not 26 points. Exactly. I understand that.
I'm saying, the shun signs on a dog's rear every now and then. You know, that's how it works.
I guess. Yeah, Kyle Lowry's a confounding, maddening player because he is so easy to like, but then he's just so mystifyingly absent.
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, no, of course. I know something. I'm not saying he averages 1.9 points per game.
Look,
but I mean, I get it.
Look, we went to this game yesterday, OKC Portland, right? And you were convinced.
Yeah, I was dead wrong on
you
that.
You were convinced. And forget who won. It doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. You were convinced Russell Westbrook would have a bounce back game.
I did.
I was not.
Mm-hmm.
I was, however, convinced that Kyle Lowry would have a bounce back game because he wasn't taking bad shots. Mm-hmm. He was just missing them.
He missed a bunch.
He was just missing them, right? He's a good 3-point shooter. He was just missing them. I think he was 0-for-6 or something in the first game. And he was just missing good shots. He was open. Wasn't like they were contested. Wasn't like, what the hell are you doing throwing that thing up from 35? It wasn't any of that. It was, I was just missing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was convinced he would rebound.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook, I mean, that dude doesn't think before he shoots. And so I wasn't convinced he would rebound because I know he's taking ill-advised,
in rhythm shots.
Yeah, non-prudent shots.
I'll give you that.
Which proved to be the case as he shot 5-for-20.
So let's do this. let's fuse Westbrook with Kyle Lowry.
Okay.
And we'll take all the athletic traits of Westbrook.
That'd be a ridiculous ball player right there.
And the ability to work within the framework of the offense of Kyle Lowry.
That'd be a ridiculous ball player right
and
there.
And you got one of the top 2-3 players in the NBA.
You have Damian Lillard, interesting.
Damian Lillard, he is an absolute beast. He is such a good player.
Agreed.
He really is. So we'll see. I mean, so, you think the Raptors, I want this on the record here. How far are the Raptors going this year? DeSell, roll the tape here.
I think the Raptors can get to the
I think they can. I want to hear they will or they won't.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, what do you think is going to happen?
I'm not in the prediction business.
We're all in the prediction business. You know the drill.
I don't care if I'm right or wrong when I pick at these
things. I care when we're right or wrong. But I'm happy when you're right. So if you're wrong, I'll ignore it like I do when I'm wrong. It's a trick of the trade. Illuminate when you're right. Look the other way when you're wrong.
I think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and you know what? That wouldn't stun me. I'm not trying to position them as this. If they got there, this would be this incredible overachievement. I'm not saying that.
They won 58 games, man.
I know. I understand that. I know. And the irony is that I have, in addition to really liking Kyle Lowry a lot about him, I definitely question his performance many times. But I've also been a huge proponent of the Raptors for this year aside. Ironically, now that Kawhi is healthy, you would think that I would. But for the couple of years before that, weren't buying the Raptors, right. I'm like, this team's good.
Yeah, I remember talking about the fan base.
Yeah.
Like, you got a home game up there, you better watch out.
Yes, that's right.
Seriously, because they come out in full force.
They got the whole, what is that, like that outside area? It's like this common area. They got 30,000 people.
They go nuts.
They go nuts. All right, Teak. So that wouldn't stun me. Who would they play? Let's kick this down the road for a second.
In the next round, I got to think about it.
1-8-2-7. Would they play the winner of the Sixers Nets? Or they would play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, right? As the 2 seed.
Yeah.
So they would play. They're going to play the Celtics. Think they beat the Celtics?
I think they can beat the Celtics.
They will beat the Celtics?
I do.
You do.
You do too.
No, I don't. I think the Celtics will win that series. No, I do. I really do.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Celtics will win that series. Okay. I do.
Not convincingly.
No, I do. I think the Celtics probably would win in, say, it could be, well, if it's 7, it's back in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
I can see the Celtics could win that in 6.
All right.
You know? I mean, because they just have more versatile defenders. You could throw one of those long bodies on Kyle Lowry and offensively mute him.
Are you convinced the Boston Celtics have figured out their issues?
No, I'm not convinced that.
They plagued them.
I'm not.
The Raptors don't have issues. They have a guy.
The only issue is that their second best player.
Agreed.
Didn't score any points.
He goes dormant in game ones. But other than that, they can still win. Right. I'm just telling you.
All right. 1-855-212-4227. Eddie House. We'll kick all this stuff by Eddie House. Eddie's a straight shooter. He lit it up. Remember, they usually score like 50 points at Arizona State one year. I mean, he was a big-time shooter off the bench in the NBA, played for Miami, does a lot of stuff for Fox. He's got strong opinions. So Eddie House, former NBA shooting guard, will join us, and we'll talk about the NBA, get a little deeper into the playoffs. Coming up next, right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Some folks like to shop in a store, while others prefer to do their shopping online. But no matter how you like to shop, When it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have everything you need under one roof, virtual or otherwise. From batteries, brakes, and belts to filters, transmissions, ignitions, and shocks, O'Reilly has it all. They even have a full range of farm and agriculture heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. They have thousands of parts and accessories in stock, and with brands you trust like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstart Batteries, Wix Filters, and much more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, most with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in the store. Car lovers also love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and now you can earn O'Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit O'Rewards.com and become an O'Reilly O'Rewards member today.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Wednesday here on Tiki and Tierney, around the country, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Hey, we need a quick 20 off the bench. Let's get our guy Eddie House. This guy can fill it up.
Quick 20 off the bench.
Well, he can do it. Kind of like Lou Williams a little bit. He'd come in and he'd just bomb it away and, you know, not afraid to shoot him, you know, great range and just a great scoring acumen. He's an analyst. He's a contributor for FS1. And Eddie is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Eddie, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. I was trying to recollect exactly. I forget the number. But what was the – when you exploded, and I know you did it many times, but the big game you had with the Sun Devils, was it north of 50? How many did you score in that one game?
It was just one north of 60.
60?
60. That's right. Who was that against?
Hello?
Yeah, who was that against, Eddie?
That was against Cal.
That doesn't count. Cal stinks.
You know what, guys? If you really want to know, Cal was 18 for 30 from the field, 7 for 10 from the three-point line, and 18 for 19 from the free throw. But who remembers?
Yeah, listen, right? You know, those fuzzy details, right, Eddie? It's all a thing of the past. How you doing, man? You okay?
Yeah, I'm great, man.
Hey, Eddie, look, we're trying to figure out if there is a solution to the Russell Westbrook conundrum. That is, this dude just takes a non-conventional, ill-advised shots. He's not a good three-point shooter, but he jacks up, you know, six or seven of them a game. He makes maybe one. You know, is there salvation for him to help him advance into the postseason?
Well, I think the problem is with Russ right now is shooting. He's thinking about it. I think he's improved everywhere else. Where people were down on him was he jacks up shots. He doesn't get guys involved when he should. He has Paul George. Why isn't he passing to Paul George? Why he ran KD off? Well, he changed his game. If you look at him this year, he's much more of a pass-first point guard. At times, he does get in attack mode, but for the most part, he's a pass-first guy. Paul George will be the first to tell you that. He's reaping the benefits of Russ's change. So when that happens, sometimes something has to give, right? So what had to give was his shooting percentage.
Yeah.
You come off a pick and roll, and you used to being, I'm going to the basket or I'm shooting it. Now you have to say, hey, well, I gotta look to get somebody else. He had to adapt his game and change his game. And there's a second of hesitation that changes everything.
Yeah, no, listen, I hear you. And when it comes to that stuff, you play it, I'll certainly defer. But it's my opinion. I started the show with this, Eddie, that – and it's too late because, you know, he's 30 and you can't go back and rewind over the past decade. Scotty Brooks, good guy, okay coach. You know, Billy Donovan, good guy, great college coach, okay NBA coach. Nobody's ever held him accountable to a style that is necessary to win championships. And I fear it's too late to really, truly change him.
I don't think that at all. I think he's so good. First off, if anybody gets an average of a triple-double in the league, I think they could do whatever they want.
No,
They'll be able to change, and not for just 1 year, but do it for three straight years. People are just acting like that's normal. If it's so normal, why isn't anybody else doing it, right, number one? Because I'm a big Russ defender. If it's so easy, why isn't anybody else doing it?
Because let me answer you. Eddie, I'll answer, and I'll certainly – because not everybody chases numbers like he does.
That's a damn lie. I'm going to tell you why it's a lie. Because how do you get paid? You have to have numbers to get paid. Everybody goes into a game of all the best rebounders. I'm going to get 20 rebounds tonight. Yeah, a little harder than you thought. You end up with 13. Everybody, I'm going to go get 20 assists. You end up with 8. It's harder than you think. And everybody is searching to put up numbers. He's just the one that's doing it. So it's, people are looking at it like, oh, he stats up, and so is everybody else. They're just not able to do it on his level. Now, as far as to get back to your question, if a coach was to come in there and change things up, I think, number one, a coach has to be able to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
You got to get a coach with a backbone, a coach with some strength that he will respect.
That's and what I said.
Not that he doesn't respect his coaches, let me say, because that sounds crazy. Not that he doesn't respect his coaches, but somebody that's going to make him, hold him accountable for it. You can't blame him. Like, it's just like if you have a kid and you let him keep getting away with stuff and you don't ever discipline him. Well, how would they ever know, or how would they ever change unless you discipline
them? I get the analogy, and when you lay it out that way, it makes a little bit of sense. But Eddie, with all due respect, you make it seem like he's the only one putting up numbers. There's guys who put up numbers that, I don't know, actually emerge from the first round on occasion. I mean, come on.
Who's averaging a triple-double?
Okay, so what? So there's a guy who has two fewer rebounds. Who cares? Do you really need your guard to rebound?
Two fewer rebounds and two fewer assists, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. If you went to the rec center today, would you be able to get a triple-double?
Dude, but I'll tell you what, I'd hang
in
horse.
If you can't get in the rec center and a guy's averaging it for three seconds, give him his credit and stop poking holes in what he's doing.
No, but, yeah. but you know, I agree.
I just don't like
he doesn't win.
Down.
Yeah.
I don't I'm not a fan of that, but I do appreciate what he does.
Look, we can agree to disagree and argue over Russell Westbrook all you want. The point is, he's not going to get to the NBA Finals, and especially with the game that he plays right now.
Well,
but
only two teams out of 28 that's going to get there. Though.
True. But a team that could is the Denver Nuggets, and it's interesting when you see them because they were down 19 against the San Antonio Spurs. Coach Malone put. Jamal Murray on the bench in the third quarter. They went on a run, and he showed faith in putting them back in into the game. And obviously, he went bonkers in the fourth.
21 in the fourth.
I mean, how hard is that for the player? And then how difficult is that for the coach to say, "Dude, this is my guy. You got us here. You got to do it now."
It's a lot easier than averaging a triple double. But no, in all seriousness. You know what? When you get somebody rolled, to the way he did it, the coach, you have to have ultimate trust and belief, and that goes over a body of work. And I think, you know, that trust that he had in Jamal, even though he started slow, didn't play well, he's a guy that carried you all season long, so you have to ride with him. And you have to be – and that's the hard thing about a coach is you have to know when to say, I got to take him out, or when to tell him, go ahead and do what you're doing. You live with those mistakes that he's doing, that he's making or bad shots that he could be taking to try to find his rhythm. I tell you what, I'd much rather have a guy go out like how to do what he did, like Jamal Murray, than, you know, they're like how Kai, and then he come back and win. Even if they didn't come back and win and he went aggressive like that, you can live with that as opposed to what Kyle Lowry did in game one. 0-for-7, you got to get more shots if you're the all-star. It's clear cut for a coach when he sees things going like that. It's just the rhythm of it. Do I take him out? Do I leave him in? That's a tough decision. For the player, it's easy, man. You just go out there and ball.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, especially for a young player like that who doesn't have any bad habits or anything like that. But you talk about a guy not shooting. And Kyle Lowry, look, his game was off in game one. He rebounded expertly in game two, I thought, with 22. And obviously they blew out the Orlando Magic. But a guy who had an inexplicable low number of shots, particularly in the fourth quarter, was Kevin Durant in that loss to the Clippers in game one. He only shot three shots in the fourth, and basically the one that he made was a bunny, right? So how do you explain the maybe best, second best at worst, player in the game disappearing in the first round of the playoffs? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It doesn't make sense. You would definitely think that he will have more attempts, but just when you have a Clay, when you have Draymond, and when you have Steph, there's other guys on the floor that are just as good offensively and just as equipped offensively to get you going or get you over the hump or to seal the deal. I think, you know, the foul trouble kind of hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, took him away from his aggressiveness. And then I think that's times where coaching comes into play. And also a true point guard. Not this, you know, you look at Steph, I wouldn't consider Steph a true point guard. Steph's not a guy that's going to come down and organize his team and get them in the right sets and make sure guys, Steph is going to play within his system. Though he is a very efficient and very good point guard because he's at that position, but he's not per se a floor general, a floor leader. And I think that's where they lack in that moment, in that game only. And then also coaches have to recognize, hey, man, I got to get this guy a touch. I got to – and not just a normal touch, like I'm just going to throw him to the block and let the whole defense look at him and then load up. No, you got to get him on the move to where bodies are moving to get him something easy, something comfortable, get him to his spot where he's comfortable, not where he has to fight to get it to his spot. Trying to run him into his spot. So it goes on coaching as well.
Yeah, it's funny because I brought up Kerr and I levied some of the criticism at him the other day as well. You know, and I think what you – how you characterize Steph is on point. He's not a true pure point guard, but I guess my question is, how many true pure point guards are there
anymore? Right?
They
got to score.
How many are there?
Well, there's a handful of them out there, but they really don't get the credit that they deserve because number one is a shooting league, it's a scoring league, and if you can't shoot at the point guard position, you basically are a liability. You look at what Ben Simmons is, as well as he played. I mean, you can game plan him out of a game as mm-hmm. well. You know, in pick and roll, you just go under. What do you get out of the pick and roll if you go under? You get nothing because it's basically the action never happened.
So true.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying true because he's not going to shoot it. He's terrified to shoot.
So I think Chris Paul is definitely one of the pure point guard. Yeah, I even talk Jrue Holiday. I think he's so underrated.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic point guard. It's a lot of them out there. I mean, DJ Augustine is playing fantastic point guard as well. I mean, Kyle Lowry is a good point guard, you know, and I think he's more of a pass first in the shoot first point guard, even though he does score a lot. I think I looked at him in the game yesterday and in game one. You look at a lot of the plays he makes, he has opportunities to shoot them balls, but he's trying to get other guys involved. So that shows me that he has natural point guard being a pure point guard at heart.
All right, so we're talking to Eddie House. He's got to start wrapping it up here, unfortunately. Having a good time. Good energy, man. No surprise. We've seen you on the show mm-hmm. over on FS1. We know that you bring it, which is great. 11 years in the NBA. You got a title with the Celtics. Big-time scorer. I am curious, though. I expect a lot more from the Utah Jazz moving forward in this Rockets series. I like them a lot. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Rockets, but that was an unnerving performance. Do I need to reconsider how I view the Utah Jazz, or is that a one-off? How do they play tonight?
You know what? It's funny because I thought the same thing. I thought this series was going to be, at least off of game one, I thought the game one, it should be a little bit more competitive than what it was. The Rockets just got everything they wanted. I mean, there was no resistance on either side. Offensively, the Rockets did what they wanted to do. Defensively, they did what they wanted to do. So, I'm going to expect more fight out of Utah.
Yeah.
And, you know, game two, we could talk up game one to nerves, but now you're settled in. And game two, they should come out and give a little bit more fight. But we could say, was it Utah being that bad or is Houston becoming that good?
Yeah. So, well, Eddie, before we let you go, because it's real quick, because you talk about Houston being that good. The Milwaukee Bucks, about two, 3 weeks ago in regular season, sheepdogged James Harden. He basically just cut off his left. Like, I'm standing directly to your left. It frustrated him. He shot, like, whatever he shot. It was 5 of 20-something. It was horrible. And they ended up losing that game. Teams are trying to do it now. The Jazz tried to do that, but he destroyed them. He went straight to the hole and, you know, lobs to Capella. It was wide open. Does that like, defensive scheme, will it actually work against James Harden, or is he too good of a player?
Well, first off, really no defensive scheme really takes a great offensive player out of their game. You know, you do exactly what you said. You frustrate them. You get them to take shots that they wouldn't take. You may have them take shots under duress or be uncomfortable. The way that you cannot give him a straight line drive, okay? Yeah. So you could get on his left hand and say, hey, you're not going left, but you better have help to that right. Because if you let him come straight downhill, he's a professional. He can dribble right-handed and finish right-handed. So you can't just cut that off without having him see a body moving to his right. He has to at least see help. So on the right side, they got to show their help. If they continue to play the way, to just give him a straight line drive, he will continue to kill them. They have too much shooting. So the defense is going to suck in. You're going to find wide open, more and more wide open shots for them. And then there's going to be lobs around the rim. So you got to keep him out of the paint. That's the most important thing. Keep him out of the paint. You can live with contested shots, but you cannot let him get in the paint.
Eddie House, nice job. Nice debut here on Tiki and Tierney, FS1 analyst. Long time in the NBA. Championship with the Celtics. Good stuff, man. We'll talk to you down the road, Eddie.
Yep, have a good one. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Appreciate you, Eddie.
Well done. There you go. Bringing the noise, bringing the energy. I like it. I appreciate that he takes his loss as humbly as he did, though, about Westbrook. You know, it is what it is. All right, coming up next here, Teague, Le'Veon Bell singing the praises of another running back and quantifying Tiger's impact on the tube for the Masters. We'll do that in the Blast after the Axe update, which is right now. All right, Teague and Tierney, get ready to blast away here on a busy Wednesday midweek. Before you know, we'll be out down in Nashville for the NFL draft. So let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. This one's coming in from Mike in Iowa. All right, guys, is it better to have one central figure making the decisions in the NFL draft room or a group of people? Great, great question. Go ahead, Teague.
I think it's got to be a collaboration, but I think they need to be on the same page and know who gets, like, ultimate say-so. Like, you can't be fighting. I didn't want that guy. You picked him anyways. So, you know, you can't have that.
No, that never happens around the NFL.
All right, are we consensus with this guy?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Are we consensus with this guy? No. Great. Then your decision holds. If that's not the case, then it gets dysfunctional.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I agree with that, Teague. You need to empower your scouts. Now, obviously, a scout's not going to have the final say in a war room of that kind of magnitude.
But he's got to have a voice.
Got to have a voice. You've got to empower the people that you hire, let them do their job. You've even got to be comfortable if it gets a little loud. You got a bunch of alphas in there, and players or personnel people have their own convictions. I'm sure they debate players kind of like, you know, we debate some topics with callers and amongst each other. I mean, you gravitate to a certain side, you dig in, you have your inner conviction, and you want to express yourself. The worst thing would be to, you know, declaw the room and just rule with an iron fist. But Tiki is right. Where it could get murky is when there's multiple voices trying to take when it's time to snap in to order, it's got to be one voice.
No doubt.
But up until that point, let it fly. I like that. Good stuff. Very good question. All right, Tiki, let's get to the blast here on Tiki and Tierney.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Le'Veon Bell. Ah, Le'Veon Bell, newest New York Jet, responded to a Twitter question from the Steelers account last night asking how many touchdowns James Conner would have in 2019. And Bell, a little ambitious, I believe. He said
anything less than 15?
He said 17.
Yeah, okay.
17?
I believe that.
Is that too high?
No.
Wait, James Conner's going to have 17 touchdowns?
I think it would be. It's going to be right about there.
Really?
Be right about there. He had 13 last year, and he only played in like 9 games. Or 10 games or whatever it was. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
They use the running back a lot.
Uh-huh.
This is total touchdowns. It's not rushing touchdowns. It's hard to get double-digit rushing touchdowns. But they use the running back a lot, especially as a receiver, and especially in red zone type situations. So just dumb luck being at the right time as a check down is going to score one in the red zone.
Plus
so.
No Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
You know, although other players will step up and have more of a role. Juju will become the 1A. I'm sure they'll draft somebody as they always do and find the superstar wide receiver that nobody saw. And then eventually have to wrestle with the notion of paying him in a couple of years. And they do this dance every few years. Sanders, it just never ends with them. But the number doesn't matter to me. The fact that Le'Veon Bell is really complimentary of Connor is just a cool thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. It's a good look for Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell's a good dude. We knew that.
Yeah. Chris Sale now 0-4 after yesterday's loss to the Yankees. They were hitting all over the yard. He got knocked around. Quote, I just flat out stink. Yankees beat him with their double A team. Nobody played. Will Chris Sale be able to turn it around this season? There's a 82-mile-per-hour changeup. I mean, that one barely, that's a cheap ball. I mean, that's a cheap home run, clearly. But he's leaving some stuff in places that you are going to get hammered at this level. His velocity is down. Let me say this. You have to hope that it's really just in terms of a script. And I think Red Sox fans might actually sign up for this. The complete antithesis to what he's done most of his career. Come out flying, and maybe because of his weight, maybe because of his herky-jerky style, his pitch count, kind of wither away a little bit down the stretch, a little bit. But right now, is he going to be sub 3.50 ERA? I'd have to say at this point, I'm leaning toward no.
No, I think it's going to be hard for him to recover this year. It just, something seems off, and if it stays as bad as it's been, it's going to become mental also. I think it's physical right now, to your point. It's going to become mental.
Well, at least he's amongst a very happy fan base. I'm sure they'll just nurse him back to health. Come on, Christopher.
Don't forget
him. Okay, Chris. Really, no
worries.
When he
gets healthy.
You bum. After a red-hot start, Seattle kind of swooning a bit. They've dropped five straight. Rough patch? Or are they just coming back to the mean, or more specifically, their mean? What do you think here, T?
I think this is the mean. I think it's the average, dude. Like, the Mariners, we know that they were a building team. They have some humongous bats on that squad. I think they're still leading the majors in home runs. But, I mean, you can only hit a home run for so long before all the other things start to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're coming back to the mean.
They've also started playing some good teams here.
Yeah.
You know, they got swept by the Houston Astros. And by the way, you win or you lose, but they've lost a lot of tight games, and they lost a couple of games to the Indians here. They're playing tonight, Swanson-Carrasco, the matchup there. But they lost to Bauer. That was, they lost by two runs there. They lost 4-2 last night. They lost 3-2 Sunday in Houston, or at home to Houston. 3-1 Saturday to the Astros, 10-6. So it's not like their losses are suddenly like 7-2 or 9-3. They're still competitive. But no, Seattle's not going to win north of 90, I don't think. I think they'll probably be in the mid-80s, and that's probably better than we thought they'd be.
I agree.
All right, 10.8 million viewers tune in to CBS on Sunday morning. Obviously, the wacky start time, 9:30, pushed up the leaders because the anticipated thunderstorm. So, really, CBS was not dealt the best because a lot of people go to church, a lot of people sleep in. And still, the numbers were insane. 11 million.
Because it's Tiger.
I hear you. Can Tiger's impact on golf be quantified aside from the actual numbers? I think to really truly quantify what Tiger's meant to the sport, you can't do it within the blast where I know I'm going to get buzzed in 15 or 20 seconds. You'd have to talk about blending of ethnicities and races and opening doors that just simply were not open for people and making golf, not just for the affluent and, for the for those who were kind of removed from the rest of mainstream society based on their wealth. Tiger Woods made it cool.
Yep.
He made it athletic. He made it accessible to almost everybody. You can't quantify it because it's still going on.
And Nike, who held on and didn't abandon him like a lot of his other sponsors did, reaped the rewards.
Yeah, they did. Rolex hung on too, right?
Yeah, I think Rolex did. But
Rolex hung on. Yeah, Nike stayed with him.
Did. Commercial immediately, even though it was corny. Immediately after he won, it was out.
I know. All right, of the three games tonight, we've got Pacers, Celtics, Pistons, Bucks, Jazz, Rockets. Which series do we think will be tied after game two? What do you think here, Teak? Do you think the Pacers beat the Celtics? No.
No.
Do you think the Pistons?
I'm trying to think.
So it had to be the Jazz, if anybody.
Because the Bucks aren't losing to Detroit.
I don't think so. I mean, I would be stunned. I think they're 15-point dogs. It's a big number. I think the Pacers
are 8.
I got to
tell you, BT, I want to say the Jazz.
Yep.
But the way that they defended was horrendous.
I hear you.
I mean, Eddie House told us when we just had him on, it was uncontested. Like, I know you're trying to confuse James Harden, but you got to put somebody in front of him, right? You're gonna take away his left hand. They call it sheepdogging. You're gonna take away his left hand. You got to have somebody help. Mm-hmm. They were taking away his left hand without helping on the right or in front.
I know.
So it's like, what are you doing?
It's probably a little too quirky.
I agree. So here's the problem. I don't know if Utah has the athletes to hang.
I mean, Joe Ingles can't cover.
I don't have the athletes to help.
Well, they got an athlete at the rim in Rudy Gobert.
I agree.
And they got one in Donovan Mitchell. But, I just don't know if they have enough, your point.
But come help James Harden. He just throws this lofty. What is he doing there? And then here comes Clint
Capella. Dink.
Exactly.
In your mug.
Dragging him across here.
Dragging. That's hysterical. I want to say that the Jazz are going to win tonight, but
I'm saying no on all.
I'm going to probably say no as well, but it has been a pretty unexpected playoffs, even though it's early. You think something wacky would happen, and hopefully for us it does.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I caught this last night. This is pretty sweet on social media. Chargers with some nice changes to their uniforms. Oh, these are so sweet. To the home unis, they switched their primary color to the powder blue, and the face mask is gold. These things are just dope.
Yeah, it's funny.
These things are incredible.
I didn't like them for a while.
Why?
In the original form. And then they went away.
What, you mean when Junior Seau was wearing them? Or Dan Fouts?
Like Dan Fouts.
Okay.
It just didn't, I don't know. They didn't hit right for whatever reason. Now
I
love them. And so whenever I see them, I'm like, oh, look at those awesome uniforms.
Love them. And I have to
admit, that's the one jersey I have, I told you, right?
No, I didn't know that.
LaDainian Tomlinson's.
The powder blue?
The powder blue.
Why do you have that? He gave it to you, a Pro Bowl or something?
No, he came.
Oh, when he came to the Jets?
Came to the Jets. Yeah. He called me. It was like, how did you stay strong? Like, how did you get better as you got older? That's I said, right. I'll introduce you to him. Uh-huh. So I took him to meet Joe Carini. And I brought my kids with me. So we got jerseys.
That's awesome.
He gave
awesome.
Us jerseys.
Is it framed?
Great. Not framed. I mean, I have it. It's not framed.
Give it to me. I'll frame it. I'll put it in my man cave. I finally have one. I'm waiting for a Tiki Barber jersey. You should be honored that I'd even put that disgusting Giants jersey in or near
your
my man cave.
Your wife will make you put it in there?
No, I told you.
If you put it in there.
You give me a framed jersey, I will hang it up in a man cave. I will. See you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.